Unit 5C will discuss ways in which HIT supports care coordination. At the end of this segment, you'll be able to assess decision-making requirements in health or healthcare. Think about an everyday activity. You're sleeping peacefully, and your alarm clock rings to wake you up for work. You may not feel ready to get up and face the day, so you hit the snooze button to catch 5 more minutes of sleep. Of course, those 5 extra minutes pass very quickly, and your alarm clock rings again. So you climb out of bed and start your day. How would you depict these activities in a work process flowchart? This is a very simplistic work process flowchart of how I rise in the morning. When my bedside alarm rings, I have a decision to make. Am I ready to get up? And if I say no, which happens more often than I care to admit, I hit the snooze alarm and go back to sleep for 5 more minutes. If I say yes, I get out of bed and proceed with my day. Work process flowcharts are very useful in defining and analyzing processes. They help to clarify understanding of a process and communicate how the process works. They provide a step-by-step illustration of the process and how they help to identify areas for standardization or improvement. Expert decision-making systems help improve task performance and reduce errors within the clinical workspace. These systems depend on an analysis of clinical requirements and cognitive processes within the clinical workflow. They have the potential to provide optimal situation awareness through information visualization. Situation awareness within the complex healthcare environment involves being aware of what is happening across many aspects of the work environment. The theory of situation awareness outlines 3 basic cognitive processes of decision making: perception of critical factors in the current environment within the given time and space of the clinical encounter, comprehension of the meaning of these critical factors, and projection of an action plan in the near future. These processes are integrated into design and evaluation of the system to improve information visualization. Information visualization is real-time information provided to the clinician to assist in performing clinical tasks and decision-making. Such visualization should support both routine tasks, that is, regular tasks, conducted by the clinician in a planned way by applying the given information, and more complex or uncertain tasks, such as those in which unexpected revelations can occur while performing the clinical task. Information visualization must be comprehensive. For example, in the case of systems that help management of obstetric patients, information should be integrated across prenatal, antenatal, and postpartum phases of care. In addition, the ability to visualize information pertinent to both the mother and the baby is crucial. Finally, information visualization should provide visual cues, such as identifying the target tumor and critical anatomic structures related to the target tumor during a surgical procedure. The initial phase of development of any HIT application requires specifying the context of use. That is, you'll need to identify the prospective users of the system and specify the context in which that system will be used. For example, is the application designed for use by outpatient physicians or by all members of the interdisciplinary team, by emergency department clinicians, by patients and their families? Or will it be used for preoperative, interoperative, or postoperative care documentation, or any combination thereof? The next phase of development requires an analysis of requirements. This is the process of analyzing the clinical workflow in order to identify the clinical processes, problems, and requirements associated with that workflow. This also involves interfacing the clinical requirements with possible technological solutions. Analyzing clinical requirements is aided by a workflow integration matrix. The workflow integration framework is built on the theory of problem solving in complex workspaces and cognitive task analysis. There are two major components: the current workflow and the future workflow. For example, in planning for a surgical information system, the current workflow allows the task breakdown of the three operative phases: preoperative, intraoperative, and postoperative. The future workflow creates a bridge between the current clinical workflow and the future technological solutions. It includes a task-based summary of both clinical and technological requirements during each phase in order to create a concept storyboard. The first step of analysis is to investigate and verify each clinical milestone. Clinical milestones are critical steps that have to be performed in order to complete the clinical procedure. The best people to identify these clinical milestones are the clinicians who actually perform the procedure. Initial discussion with these clinicians can provide information to structure an observation session during which the clinicians are observed or shadowed during the procedure to determine the actual problem-solving process, as well as what information is needed during the course of that process and when that information is needed. The second step of analysis is to analyze workflow. Workflow is a description of a sequence of activities performed by various clinicians and staff in the healthcare system. It provides a description of the context and conditions in which errors could potentially occur. Careful analysis of workflow can be used to model the distribution of cognitive work and the information flow in complex environments. There are basically two methods of workflow analysis: qualitative and quantitative. Qualitative methods are human intensive and tend to yield a low volume of high quality data. Such techniques include ethnographic observation, shadowing of individual clinicians, and surveys and questionnaires. Ethnographic observation is when the observer lives in and among the clinicians being studied for a prolonged period of time and participates in the daily life of the clinician, taking copious notes on the details of the clinical workflow to find patterns. Shadowing of individual clinicians and clinical groups is used more frequently to discern clinical workflow, as well as clinical surveys and questionnaires. Quantitative methods employ sensor technologies such as passive infrared sensors, radio identification tags, and pressure sensors, as well as video recordings. These methods allow accurate time stamping and produce high volumes of data that have abstract reference to clinical workflow. In addition, they are often costly, and the static location of sensors can provide a very limited view. In general, Workflow can be described by the underlying cognitive processes that drive decision-making, by physical movement, and by interaction and communication activities. A group of researchers, led by Venkatapuram, combined qualitative and quantitative methods of data collection to capture each of these three activities. They recorded motion and location of clinical teams using radio identification tags and observations. These data were used to model activities in critical care environments. These are replayed in 3D virtual reality environments for further analysis and training.
Electronically available data can be pulled into a discharge worksheet and ultimately into a discharge summary note, which can be automatically faxed to post-discharge providers and agencies. The worksheet can be designed as a dynamic document to communicate discharge planning activities. This worksheet can auto-populate sections of the discharge summary, which can be finalized on discharge of the patient. A report can be designed to provide discharge instructions to the patient in patient-friendly language, including a new updated home medication list.
The fourth step of analysis is to communicate findings with the multidisciplinary development team. Innovative ideas, current clinical trends, and possible solutions are documented in future workflow planning. The final step of analysis is to conceptualize and evaluate the design. This design is based on current technologic feasibility and clinical viability. Once all requirements are analyzed using the workflow integration matrix, the development teams will design a prototype and the prospective users will evaluate the prototype. The design cycle is considered human-centered because clinicians are involved in the design every step of the way to ensure that the design supports their clinical workflow and information flow processes. Cognitive task analysis is a family of methods for understanding the cognitive processes that underlie task performance and the cognitive skills needed to respond adeptly to complex situations. It's used to understand decision-making and communication processes and has implications for workflow design. Fackler and his team of researchers use cognitive task analysis to understand the critical care decision-making and communication process. They looked at how clinicians triaged admissions, how they made decisions to treat, procedural tasks, such as endotracheal tube intubations and central line placements, and administrative tasks such as prescribing, documentation, scheduling, and imaging studies. They identified five broad categories of cognitive tasks: pattern recognition, uncertainty management, strategic versus tactical thinking, team coordination and maintenance of common ground, and creation and transfer of meaning through stories. Pattern recognition manifested itself in two ways. First, they saw the classic complete disease-specific mental model constellation of cues that a patient exhibits that points to a classic diagnosis. More often, however, they found a real-time merging of pattern fragments into unique, patient-specific mental models. This led them to conclude that HIT systems would need to be highly content-specific in order to support both types of pattern recognition. Not surprisingly, Uncertainty management was uncovered as the defining feature of critical care medicine. Critical care clinicians may be confronted with uncertainty when the patient's symptoms just don't fit a complete pattern, or when they're unable to discern the underlying cause of a patient's illness. Both strategic and tactical thinking is observed in ICU environments. Strategic thinking is long-term, often multi-patient, and is very goal-oriented, while tactical thinking is short-term, single-patient-focused, and very detail and task-oriented. Junior house staff are more often likely to use tactical thinking, since they're immersed in the details of testing and treating the patient. ICU environments are characterized by collaboration. Cognitive work is distributed among members of a multidisciplinary team that includes nurses, physicians, respiratory therapists, pharmacists, and other professionals. The need to maintain common ground is critical and is challenged by communication difficulties among team members, fragmented teams or sub-teams that make important patient care assessments and decisions throughout the day, shifting teams in which attendings and residents rotate in and out every 2 or 3 or 4 weeks, increased numbers of shift handovers, role ambiguity in the ICU, and use of external consultants. Use of stories in the ICU is related to maintaining that common ground. In many cases, important information is lost during transitions of care from shift to shift. A broad understanding of stories in the ICU, including the function that they serve, how they're created and shared within the team, and how technology can support these processes, is key to effective information transfer. In summary, clinical decision-making is a systematic way of handling data and algorithms to decide on the best course of action. Technical, personal, and conceptual uncertainty shapes clinical decisions. Workflow integration matrices are very useful in workflow analysis, and cognitive task analysis uncovers decision-making and communication processes and has implications for workflow analysis.